Appreciate your presence at the close of the day. We have visitors with us tonight. We're thankful that you're able to join us and glad you're able to be here as we end the day as we began this morning. Two things I really appreciate about this congregation so much is, number one, the singing. I mean, here we are tonight, and our numbers are about 50% of what they normally are because of all the families that are away this afternoon. And yet, I think our singing is still very good, and so appreciate the acoustics that we have here. But more than that, the way that we sing and we raise our voice and we're not afraid to praise God in song. And I think our singing is very, very good compared to so many places. And I think that's a blessing that we have that we ought not to take for granted. And secondly, I also appreciate so much the attitude of the congregation about so many things, even in areas of disagreement from time to time. I think everybody's really wanting to do what's right, and I think we saw that this morning, and just appreciate so much the attitude of everybody as we seek to move forward and serve the Lord to the best of our abilities. As some of you know, I teach the high school class on Sunday morning, and I always start out with questions. And let me share one I asked this morning. One of my questions to the high school students this morning, if you could take one of the members of the Veterans Parkway Church, if you could take one of the people out to lunch for an hour and talk to them about life and what you would learn about life, who would you choose? Who would you choose to go out to lunch with? One of the girls said she would go out with Sister Amy Abel. She would like to know from Amy a little bit more about life. I think that was quite the compliment. Another student said he would like to go out with Mark Job. I made the observation that I think Mark might be too shy for that. Probably wouldn't have anything to say. But I think that's a good compliment too. And one of the other students said he wanted to go out with Brother Mac Tweet. It happened to be one of his grandsons, by the way. And I said, why would you want to do that? He said, because my grandpa is a beast. He said, whoa, I mean that as a compliment. He said, my grandpa could do anything. He just built a cabin. And he went on talking about his grandfather, you know, doing all these kinds of things. So I told Mac that this morning, that one of your grandchildren called you the beast. And Sandra said, I'm the beauty. Beauty and the beast. So there you go. But I always enjoy the young people so much here. And we have such a good group of young people in that class. Some of them will be moving on shortly, and others will come into that. And so, such an encouragement to all of us. Open your Bibles tonight to Mark, the fourth chapter. Mark, the fourth chapter. If I've counted correctly, and I may have missed this, but I think 8 times in the gospel records, Jesus repeats a very simple admonition. He says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And he does that in Mark, the fourth chapter, beginning in verse 2. Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 2. The scripture says, and he was teaching them many things in parables, and was saying to them in his teaching, listen to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow, and as he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on the rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Other seeds fell into the good soil. And as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop, and produce 30, 60, and 100-fold. And he was saying, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. In the passage, Jesus compares our ears, or our hearts, same kind of symbolism, to different kinds of soil. He said some ears, some hearts, are like hardened ground. That is, here is a person who is completely unreceptive to the Word. The Word cannot penetrate. And because the Word cannot penetrate, the Word cannot germinate. And because the Word cannot germinate, the Word cannot procreate. You know, some people never give it a chance. Because some people just won't listen. You can talk to them until you're blue in the face. They're just not interested. They're just not going to listen to the things of God. Secondly, he says, some ears are like rocky soil. Here are people who hear, and there is some measure of receptivity, but they hear, but we would say that it goes in one ear and out the other. They may make some superficial changes, but there's no lasting changes. And then he said, third, some ears are like a weed patch. They're too overgrown with other things. They're too thorny. There's too much competition for the Word. And so as a result, there is no harvest. If you skip down to verse 19, he talks about that. The worries of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desire for other things, enter in and choke the Word, and it becomes unproductive or unfruitful. But then Jesus said, there are some ears, some hearts that are just right. Verse 8, some seeds fell into the good soil, and they grew up and increased and yielded a crop, produced 30, 60, and 100 fold. Here are people who want to learn. They are well tilled. They're determined. They're ripe. They're ready. They're receptive to the Word. But I want you to notice something. In all the cases that Jesus talks about, all four of them, it's the same seed. And it's the same sower. It's not that the message is any different, and it's not that the messenger is the difference. The difference is in your heart and mine. The difference is in the heart of the person that's listening. And if you can go on the ratio, if you just want to talk about numbers, if you want to go on the ratio, what Jesus is saying is most people aren't going to hear or make lasting changes. Whether because of hard hearts or maybe shallow hearts or anxious hearts. They miss the message of God. So it's not that we don't have ears to hear. We do. But sometimes we just don't use them to listen. That's why he said in verse 9, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said it again in verse 23, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said it in verse 24, he was saying to them, take care what you listen to. What are you hearing? What are you taking to heart? It's important. When Luke was a little boy, I don't know how old he was, maybe four, and he would kill me for telling y'all this, but he's not here, so I'm going to tell him anyway. When he was about four, his grandfather would take him over to the... See, my wife's back there in the foyer. She heard his name. She's listening right now. When Luke was about four, his grandfather would take him over to the church building where he preached and would teach him how to preach. And we've got a tape recording somewhere, a cassette tape somewhere of Luke preaching when he was about 4 years old. And he stood there and you could hear him say, he hears grandfather whisper, repent. And you hear Luke say, repent. And you can hear his grandfather say, be baptized. And be baptized. And his grandfather then would say, slap your hands and say, are you listening? And Luke would go, are you listening? And he would preach that lesson. And it makes a pretty good point. Are you listening? Because that's the very same thing Jesus is saying in this story, in this parable. He's saying the problem is most people aren't listening. They're tuning out what God says. Now, here's the interesting thing. All through Scripture, the premium is placed upon people who will listen to what God says. Back in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4, the great command from God to the children of Israel through Moses was this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one Lord. It starts with hearing. Listen to this, he said. In Nehemiah 8 and verse 3, the people in Nehemiah's day were commended because the Bible says they were attentive to the book of the law. In Proverbs 8 and verse 34, Solomon, speaking for the Lord, blessed is the man who listens to me, says the Lord. And so you see that all through the Old Testament, but you see it in the New Testament also. In John 10 and verse 3, Jesus said, I want you to listen like sheep. My sheep hear my voice, he said. Revelation 3 and verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. And when you get to the letters to the seven churches of Asia, every one of them in the same way. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. When God made our ears, contrasted to when He made our eyes, He didn't put any lids over here. Did you notice that? God made our ears to stay open. And yet, how easily we close them sometimes. You ever heard the phrase selective hearing? Wives often use that phrase in relation to their husbands. The problem with you husbands is you all have selective hearing. Well, okay, that's probably true to some degree, but all of us have selective hearing. We tend to hear what we want to hear. And that's true not only in the human relationships we have with each other, but also spiritually. Think about Pilate. Pilate. Not only did the voice of his conscience say that Jesus is not guilty, and he said that three times, but his own wife sent a message to him. Remember what she said? Have nothing to do with that innocent man. But Pilate didn't listen to the voice of his conscience, and Pilate didn't listen to his wife, but most importantly, Pilate didn't listen to Jesus. Remember what Jesus said in John 18:37? Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to me. He said that to Pilate. But Pilate didn't listen because Pilate had selective hearing. Because you see, out of the other ear were the voices of the crowd. Out of this ear was the voice of a carpenter. And because Pilate tuned in and listened to the voice of the crowd, he never found his faith. Faith, after all, comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so since Pilate refused to hear the right source, he never found the basis for his faith. No wonder Jesus said over and over and over again, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So how long has it been? How long has it been since you've had your hearing checked? And I don't mean hear. I mean in your heart. I mean spiritual hearing. How long has it been since you've really thought about that? And how long has it been since you allowed God to really get a hold of your heart? I hear people say all of the time, I want to be like Jesus. Well, okay. Do you understand what that means? If you spend time with Jesus in Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, what you find out if you want to be like Jesus is that Jesus spent time with the Father. In Mark 1 and verse 35, one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Mark 1 and verse 35. And I'm going to guess this is one of Laura Bowdery's favorite passages too. In the early morning, while it was still dark. Now, I say that because I get up pretty early, sometimes 4, 4:30, 5 o'clock, and start getting some work done. And sometimes I'll get a message from Laura Bowdery. She's already up. And so Jesus was a morning person. In the early morning, while it was still dark, look at what happened. Jesus got up, left the house, went away to a secluded place, and was praying there. Look at that. Nobody was any busier than he was, and yet he made time for that. Look over in Luke 5 and verse 16, one more. Luke chapter 5 and verse 16 says very plainly, Jesus would often, it was a habit. He would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. Now here's Jesus, the Son of God. And if Jesus thought it was worthy of His sacrifice and time to make time in His busy schedule to pray, then I need to do that. You need to do that. And not only did He devote Himself to prayer, but also you learn about Jesus that He had an appreciation for revelation. In Matthew chapter 4, He used it to repel the attacks of Satan. It is written, He said. So once again, if the Son of God thought it worthy to make time in His busy schedule to have an appreciation for revelation and to use it when the attacks of Satan would come, then you and I need to do the same thing. So when we talk about having ears that hear, that's part of it. It's incorporating the habits of Jesus into our lives, the same that He had in His. And that's an appreciation for prayer and an appreciation for revelation. Romans 12 and verse 12, maintain the habit of prayer. Well, Jesus did. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Well, Jesus did. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God. That's what we are to do. Psalm 119 and verse 97, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all of the day. That was the attitude that he had. And that's all part of having ears to hear. In other words, having hearts that are tuned in toward God. Now, it's easy to tune out if we're not very careful. Because here's what happens. I'll tell you from a preaching standpoint what happens. When you get up and start talking about basic stuff that everybody already knows, you can almost see sometimes people just turning you off. They tune out. They tune out. Because they already know this. I mean, here's a preacher standing up talking about the importance of you need to give time to prayer, you need to give time to study and have an appreciation for Scripture. And we already know that, and so we tune out. We start thinking about other things. And sometimes we tune out because we've convinced ourselves that we're just too busy. And so rather than spending time with God and praying for wisdom or listening to His voice come to us through His Word, we are fully content to let other people do that for us because, after all, I'm busy. You know, the denominational world has the clergy-laity distinction. And sometimes if we're not careful, we can have the same thing. We may never articulate that. We may never say that. But sometimes we think it. And how we think it is like this. Isn't that what we pay the preacher to do? Don't we pay the preacher to read the Bible? Don't we pay the preacher to study? Don't we pay the preacher to teach? I'll just come and listen and learn secondhand from him. What is that? That is surrogate spirituality. That's what that is. That is trying to develop your own relationship with God through somebody else. Sure, somebody else can teach you, somebody else can instruct, somebody else can be involved in all of those things. But at the end of the day, your relationship with God is your responsibility and mine. Surrogate spirituality doesn't work because it doesn't please God. We don't do that with other parts of our lives that are important to us. We don't do that with vacations. I got to tell you, I've forgotten about going on a trip with kids. How that's hard. You're packing up the car and all those suitcases and then unpacking and then traveling and all the stuff that goes with that. You know, it would be easier to just say, you know, this summer I'll send somebody on vacation for me. That way, I can be spared all of that inconvenience. And that way, when they come back, I'll hear all about it. They can show me all their pictures and all that kind of thing. And I won't have to fool with any of that. Well, that sounds great. But there's some things you have to experience firsthand. How many of you have seen Niagara Falls? Okay. You've seen Niagara Falls. And when you go to Niagara Falls, it's easy to buy a postcard and send it to all of your family whom you left back home and say things like, oh, I wish you were here, which doesn't make any sense because you left them at home. But you buy this postcard and you send it to your family and say, wish you were here and all that kind of thing. And it's a beautiful postcard of Niagara Falls. The only problem is you cannot capture Niagara Falls on a piece of cardboard. It is impossible. You have to see it to believe it. You have to stand there and feel the spray. And you have to stand there and hear that thunderous roar of that water that separates the United States from our northern neighbor. You have to experience that for yourself. Same thing with the Grand Canyon. If you've ever seen the Grand Canyon, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You try to come home and explain it to somebody else, good luck. There's some things you have to see for yourself. You have to experience yourself. We don't do that with romance. We don't say romance is such a hassle. I mean, falling in love and all this kind of stuff. I'll hire somebody to do that for me. Well, how's that going to work? Well, it's not going to work at all. Because there are some things you just have to experience for yourself. You have to experience that moment in time when you reach for her hand the very first time, wondering if you're going to get yours slapped. And that first kiss and the porch light that starts going on and off because Dad knows you're home. So, I mean, there's those kinds of things. You can't do those for somebody else. You have to experience them. We don't do that with eating. You know how much time it takes to eat? You know how much effort is involved in eating? Somebody says eating is so time consuming. You know, chewing is such a bother. In fact, my jaw gets tired when I chew a lot, somebody says. So I'll hire somebody to do that for me. I'll let them chew my food and then I'll just swallow whatever they give me. Well, first of all, that's gross. Nobody does that. Nobody can do that for you. It is an impossibility. But the same thing is true when it comes to you growing your relationship with God. What I'm saying is listening to His Word, talking to Him in prayer, learning to lean your life upon Him, those are all first-hand experiences. Nobody can do that for you. I cannot develop a relationship with God for you. You cannot develop a relationship with God for me. The elders can't do that for you. Jason Page can't do that for you. Jason Schrader can't do that for you. Amy Abel can't do that for you. That's something you have to do yourself. So how? How can I do this? Well, let me just leave you with three quick points of application and we're finished. Number one, if you've got something to write down, write this down. How can I do this effectively? This is so simple. Number one, you need a regular time and place. You need a regular time and place. Select a slot on your schedule and a little corner of your world and claim that for God. Now, for some people, that may be early in the morning. Psalm 88 and verse 13, "In the morning my prayer shall come to you." Some people may be in the evening. Psalm 142 and verse 2. "Let my praise be like the evening sacrifice." Other people may not have any set time. Psalm 55 and verse 17. "Evening, morning, or noon, I cry unto thee." But find a time that's right for you that you can set aside that fits who you are, and use that time productively to gain your relationship with God. And the place doesn't matter. Jesus said, go into your closet. Jesus' closet, He would go up in the mountains. I love Matthew 14, verse 23. It says, He went up on the mountain to pray. He left the busyness and the business behind Him, even removing Himself not only from the multitudes, but from the 12, and He climbed up that mountain. And what did He do there? He spent time in prayer. That was His closet. Other times He went out into the desert. That was His closet. Around the Sea of Galilee at times, His closet. Where's yours? Maybe it's your bedroom where you just close the door. Maybe it's the patio out back of your house. Maybe it's your office. Maybe it's your car. Sharon Harris, maybe it's your garden. Don't know. Where's your closet? Where's your secluded place where you can get alone, where it's quiet, and it's just you and God? Regular time and place. Secondly, you got to open the book. You got to open the book. Somebody said the quality of a conversation depends on who starts it, on who initiates the conversation. And I would encourage you to let God initiate the conversation. The Bible is not some kind of internet news source that you just quickly skim over. It is a gold mine waiting to be quarried. In Proverbs 2, verse 4 and 5, I'm going to give you time to get there because I want you to mark this. Proverbs 2, verse 4 and 5. I want you to look at the words he uses. to describe our approach to wisdom and gaining the wisdom of God. Proverbs 2, verse 4. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. But you're going to have to seek, and you're going to have to search, and you're going to have to study. That's just part of it. But I'll give you this hint. You need to study the Bible a little bit at a time. You know, in the Old Testament, when God sent the manna to the children of Israel, He didn't dump the whole week's load at once. He gave them just enough for that day. And they went out and gathered what they needed for that day and that day only. And I thought about that. That's a good way to study the Bible, by the way. That's a good way to embrace the spiritual manna that God has given to us. Sometimes you talk to people and they say, well, you know, I just read through the Bible again. Well, that's great. It's great to read through the Bible. But sometimes I'm afraid some people read through the Bible just so they can go around and tell other people they read through the Bible. I think the better question is, if you read through the Bible, what do you remember? And what did it do for you? Did you read just to read, or did you read to actually listen and learn and apply some things? You know, it might be better than to just, rather than just skimming through the Bible as quickly as you can, it might be better to concentrate maybe on one book for a while. Maybe read the book of Mark, or read the book of James, or read the book of Ecclesiastes, and really think about what you're reading. Maybe read less so that it means more. So that it hits home with you. So that you can reflect on it during your day. That's what meditation's all about. Meditation is nothing more than reflection. But be patient, because learning takes time. There's a story about a little girl who came home from school on the very first day. And her mom said, did you learn anything today? And she said, I guess not. She was a drama queen. I guess not. They want us to come back tomorrow. Well, that's the way learning is. You don't go to school on the very first day and learn it all. You got to go back for more. And that's the way it is with Scripture. Bible study is a process. It is a lifetime process. And progress is what God's looking for. Progress. Let us keep learning. Let us keep studying. Open the Bible. And third, open your heart and listen with your ears. Paul said in Philippians 4 and verse 9, what you have learned and received and heard, do, he says. Do. Some people never learn because some people never listen. Some people never learn because some people never listen. The only way you and I are going to learn is if we listen. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 4 and verse 4, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So how is your spiritual hearing lately? How is your spiritual discernment lately? I'm guessing all of us could probably take some steps that would lead us to improving our attitude and our response to that. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Jordan's going to lead us in a song of invitation tonight. We extend it simply because we're here. And it is a moment of convenience, but I think we need to remind ourselves from time to time, the Lord's invitation is open all the time. But right now, since we're here, we extend it. And if you need to respond in obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ, why don't you do that? If we can help you tonight in rendering your life obedient to His will because you have listened to what He has said, and you're willing to change your life and give your life to Him and be buried in baptism for the remission of your sins as a response of faith to the grace of God, would you not do something about that this very night, this very hour? Won't you come while we stand and sing?